You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Genesis chapter 7, verse number 1. Genesis chapter 7, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. It came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And then also, our companion text, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, been warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of every sin. I pray that you'll search our hearts and try us. See if there be any wicked way in us. Cleanse us of it. Lead us in the way everlasting. Thank you for this day, for the mercies, the opportunities of it, for the privilege to be in your house again. We're grateful. Thank you for these that are here. Thank you for this church, for this dear pastor and his dear wife. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless all their labors. Thank you so much for them. I pray, Lord, that you'll be pleased now to touch thy servant. Give us that special anointing. Illuminate our mind and loose our tongue. And may the gospel go forth in its power. I pray, Lord, for those among us tonight that are strangers to your grace. May this be the hour of salvation. We're grateful that Christ Jesus came to this world to seek and to save sinners. I pray, Lord, that just now, that you'll drive back every evil spirit, every satanic force, every opposing power, that the Spirit of God shall have His way in every heart, in every life. And again, Lord, we would be amiss if we did not thank you for Brother Mike, for the surgery being successful so far. We bless and praise your name for it, that the great physician has been pleased to touch him thus far. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to work in that eye. We're grateful, Lord, for all of your love, for your mercy, and everything that you're pleased to do for us. We will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, we humbly pray. Amen. You notice Genesis chapter 7 that I read, verse number 16 especially. And the Lord shut him in. I want to speak to you tonight about shut in or shut out. Noah was a man who was different. He was entirely different from the rest of his age. As a matter of fact, if Noah had kept up with his age, he'd have died with the rest of the world and gone down in the flood and have gone to hell. Spiritually speaking, he was an oddity. Carnally speaking, he was unique. He was different in heart from the rest of the world. The reason Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the only thing that separates the believer from the unbeliever, the saved from the unsaved, is the grace of God. Salvation is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. The Apostle Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Noah was different from the rest of the world because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Don't ever forget where God found you. If there's any good, if there's any virtue in any of us, we owe it all to Calvary's Lamb. While sin ruled universally in the world, grace ruled in the heart of Noah. And except for his faith through grace, Noah would have perished with the rest of the world. Noah was different in his standing. We read in the previous chapter, the sixth chapter, verse 9, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. While the rest of the world was in a state of condemnation, Noah was in a state of justification. He was perfect, or he was upright in his generation. Grace in an individual's heart will soon be manifest in the life. As I said last evening, to talk about salvation without holiness of life is a mere mockery. When God saves a sinner, there's an internal change. There's an external change. And there is an eternal change. So that every converted sinner is internally, externally, and eternally converted. Noah was righteous before God and men. Now it's one thing to appear to be righteous before men, and another sometimes to be righteous before God. We may deceive others. We may deceive men. No one pulls the wool over God's eye. God knows us. He knows our thoughts. He knows all about us. Sometimes people say, if I know my heart. But the truth is, we do not know our heart. The heart is deceitfully and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But God does know our heart. Not only was Noah righteous in the sight of men, he was righteous before God. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And having been given the standing of a justified soul, he received power to live a godly life. No person can live a godly life without being justified by faith. Now we may pretend to live a godly life, but no person can actually truly live a godly life without being justified by the grace of God. Noah was a righteous man in an unrighteous generation. Talk about being out of step. Noah was out of step. He was out of step politically. He was out of step socially. He was out of step religiously. Sometimes today or often we hear a lot about the fundamental right, the extremist fundamental right. But I think sometimes, Brother Mike, if that crowd that they think are extremes, if they really knew what I believe, they'd have a net thrown over me and haul me off somewhere. Noah was different. He was an oddity in his day. He was so by the grace of God. Noah walked with God while the whole mass of humanity walked in sin. And Noah walked with God. And so Noah was certainly in the minority. And Noah was different in his vision. Hebrews 11 says that being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now when Noah started building the ark, as far as I know, there wasn't a sea close by. There wasn't even a river as far as I know. But God said to Noah, I'm going to send a flood and destroy the ark, and gave Noah to build the ark. So here's Noah out on dry land, and he's building a three-story ark. Up to this time, as far as I can tell, it had never rained from the sky. The Bible said in Genesis 2:6, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. God had his own built-in sprinkling system. But here's Noah, and he's not only talking about a flood, but he's talking about rain falling from the sky. And he's talking about a great deluge. Noah had faith in God, and he believed God and took God at his word. Now, Noah had just seen a little flood. He might have been encouraged, but Noah just believed God. And by faith, he took God at his word. And so Noah was different in his vision. Noah believed God, and for 120 years, he warned those people that judgment was coming and that God was going to send a flood to destroy all the earth. For 120 years, Noah preached righteousness. Peter says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Maybe that's why he had so few converts. Now, Noah didn't step out in front of that ark and say, smile, everybody. Something wonderful is about to happen. But for 120 years, he preached the righteousness of God and that God would judge sin. Being warned of God, he was moved with holy fear. His motivation was different. Moved with fear. Now if a man does not believe that God will punish sin, he cannot be sure that God will pardon sin. But how aptly does this book describe the ungodly, not only in the pre-flood age, but of every generation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. John Newton correctly wrote, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. It was a holy, healthy fear of God that brought us to Calvary. It was the holy fear of God that made us see ourselves as sinners. It is the grace of God that brings about holy fear. And Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark. His inheritance was different. He was heir to the righteousness, which is by faith. Now the worldly, the unsaved, strove for worldly inheritance and strove for earthly things and to be desired to be the heirs of vast possessions. But Noah looked for a new heaven and a new earth. His name was not found on the perishing register of society, but on the imperishable records of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. While the world talked about plenty and pleasure, about lust and licentiousness, about wine and about wealth, about money and murder, Noah talked about righteousness. He talked about justice and judgment. He talked about purity and pardon, about righteousness and redemption. Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord and been warned of God. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And so you note the closing in. This ark, of course, was built in the shape of a coffin made out of gopher wood. In other words, it was a big black box that looked like a coffin. That was 450 feet by 75 feet by 45 feet. There was nothing appealing about this ark. There was nothing attractive about it. But it was the only place of safety. When our Lord was upon this earth, we are told it was not his physical attraction that attracted men. Isaiah 53 says, he is despised and rejected of men. And so, the only place of security, the only place of safety is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for 120 years, Noah labored and Noah built this ark and worked on building this ark. And in one day, seeing strange passengers arriving, as God had lined the animals up and brought them before Noah, before Adam to name them, God brings the animals into the ark by twos. And so here comes these strange passengers. And I remind you that there was just one door. It was a door that was three stories high. Every animal had to come in at the same door. That little crawling snail had to come in like the majestic eagle sweeping down from its nest on high. Just one door and one way. Whether you be big or little, that is only one way to God. One way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Just one door, one way. And then the God's effectual call of salvation comes to Noah and his family. Now the universal call had gone out to the masses. And that call had gone unheeded. And one day God said to Noah and his family, come. And it was by grace that Noah built the ark. And it was by grace that Noah came. Now I don't have to remind you that not a one of us that are saved would have ever started toward God or heaven had not God taken the divine initiative. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ loved the ungodly. And so, Noah and his family are inside that ark. Noah takes a look out. One of the last looks out. Oh, the door is open 7 more days. And Noah, while that door is open, I'm sure, looked in the faces of his longtime listeners. Those people that he had preached to for 120 years, many of them. And Noah looks at that crowd, and he knows that soon the door is going to be shut, that every living creature that is to be saved from the day of God's fiercest wrath is inside that ark. And God in mercy leaves that door open for 7 more days. I am sure that the crowd on the outside mocks and jeers at Noah and jests at the foolishness of Noah and his family being inside that ark. But God in mercy leaves that door open 7 more days. Who's going to close that door? Who's going to caulk this massive door, its massive seams? Who's going to make it waterproof? Who's going to make it stormproof? And then on the 7th day, slowly but surely, that door shuts. And God shut him in. Noah is safe in the ark. The crowd on the outside are destined for judgment. I do not know the day that the rain started. If the sun was shining that morning, maybe it was a dark, gray, cloudy day. But then suddenly, like a tidal wave, the gates of the oceans break forth. The earth is earmarked for judgment. The ungodly outside are going to drown and perish. And those on the inside are going to sail to a new day. And so the hand of omnipotence opens the gates of the oceans. The high tides come sweeping in. The screams, the cries, the shrieks of those on the outside are heard. And soon the lowlands and every house is covered with water. And soon the mountains will be covered. Here and there is mountains jetting up, rising above the ocean. But soon those mountains are covered as well. And this earth becomes one gigantic ocean. It is an ocean without a beach to hurl its crest at. It is a sea without a shoreline. And God covers this water, this earth in judgment. And planet earth is going through space awash with water. For the great day of the judgment of God is come. They would not believe. They would not repent. And now they perish. Yonder on that shoreless sea is a weird looking vessel. It is the old ark. The boat is still afloat. The boat did float. It has outridden the storm. And she sails triumphantly and gloriously toward a better day. Her structure holds. The precious cargo is wonderfully preserved till the storm passes by. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was shut in. You know that the saving act is God's. Salvation is of the Lord. It was grace that planned the ark. It was grace that gave faith to Noah. It was grace that gave him courage to accomplish the great task of building the ark. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Noah went in that ark, separated, of course, from the world's curse. He'd be no part of its wickedness. And he would not be a part of its judgment. Now there is no security for the whitewashed, but there is eternal security for those washed white. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. You note that the irreversible act is God's. Now there was absolutely, positively, no way of that ark springing a leak. And that gigantic door that rose three stories high, I don't believe for one moment that Noah or his three sons sat before that door waiting for it to spring a leak. Not on your life. Salvation is complete. It is of the Lord from start to finish. And the grace of God in an individual's life can never be removed. What God has done in my heart, as I've said practically every night, cannot be undone. No possibility that I won't ever be a child of God. No possibility that my feet won't walk on the streets of gold in Emmanuel's land because of what Christ Jesus did in my heart. I am assured of heaven as if I were already there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is not because of my works, certainly. Not because I deserve it. It is because of what He done. Salvation is irreversible. When God saves a sinner, it is eternal. You know that in that ark, there was just one window. And it was at the top of the ark. Noah and his family could not look out. They could not see the swirling water. The only thing that they could do was to look up. And I remind you that our hope is in the Lord. And we look to Him alone for security. The final act is God's. In Genesis 6:14, Noah is commanded to pitch the ark. Within and without, with pitch. And that word pitch literally means atonement. When God closed the door, the seal of the seams, the final pitching was the work of God Himself. And at Calvary, Jesus offered one sacrifice for our sin. His work won't ever have to be redone. Most of the time when men do something, we can find a flaw, though it may be small. But that's not true of the work of Calvary. He won't ever have to come back and redo it. He offered one sacrifice and sat down forever at the right hand of God. We don't have to offer up turtle doves or pigeons. Pigeons, he offered one sacrifice, and that one sacrifice satisfied the righteousness of God forever. You know, the closing out. These people were faithfully warned people. As I said, Noah preached to them 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness. And you ought to praise God. And I'm sure that you do. For a man who is faithful to the Word of God, who cares more about the souls of men, even than his own welfare. I know that we live in a generation that prefers entertainment to the preaching of the Word. But it hath pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Amen. To save those which believe. How should they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Now there are some types of churches that have two pulpits. One on the right and one on the left side. And nothing, neither one of them. But I want to tell you that it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching. Yes, to save those which believe. Do you know that these were people interceded for? In Ezekiel 14:14, Ezekiel said that all these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. And God said that even if these three intercessors, these great intercessors, were in this city that is so given to wickedness, even their intercession could not save it. And when unrighteousness and wickedness gets that crate, God Almighty will send destruction. And God said even their prayers, even their intercession, could not save them because of the great wickedness. There were people who mocked rather than repented. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I see things happening today that just amaze me. And even in America, things happen not only weekly, but daily. And I'm just, it's like living in the twilight zone. And the America that I grew up in and I was born in, I'm afraid is fastly and quickly moving away. And we live in a day of great apostasy and a crate of iniquity as it was in the days of Noah. Just a little strength. But thank God for that faithful remnant. Keeps on believing God. That takes God at His Word. For that remnant that will not bow to the God of this world. They were mockers of the gospel. What sneers and what ridicule Noah must have endured. Now there might have been people that Noah employed to help him build the ark. But they didn't have the burden he had, and they certainly didn't believe that the flood was coming. God's presence came on Noah. And God gave Noah faith to believe God and to take God at His Word. But God had said, "My spirits are not always strive with man." I don't have to tell you. Brother Mike, as I said already, God willing, next month I'll have been preaching 50 years should the Lord let me live. And I have to admit that real conviction seems to be a rare thing. It's not always been that way. But God said, "My spirits are not always strive with a man." If God's dealing with your heart, if God speaks to you and God deals with you about your sin, you ought to praise God for it. It is a mercy of God that in these last days that God would convict and so move in your heart is to make you see your need of the Savior. It is the Lord's mercy. Of course, God, as long as the church is here, will continue to convict. And I don't have to tell you that there have been days when God is moved in great and mighty power and sweeping power. And what a mercy it is that God even speaks to our hearts in the first place. But these were the people that were interceding for. I think that before Noah cut down one gopher tree to start building that ark, that he got on his knees and he cried out to God for these people that he was going to preach to and these people that he was interceding for. God said in the book of 2 Peter, that 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, the heavens of old, and the earth was standing out of the water, and in the water, the world that was then was overflowed with water and perished. And he says that the heavens and earth which are now are kept by the same word. The same word that sent the flood is the same word that keeps this earth from being destroyed. Did you know that this earth is earmarked for judgment? God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And the Apostle Peter says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. God, of course, is not going to destroy this world with water, but the next time it is by fire. Talk about global warming. It is coming. When heaven and earth shall pass away, and God Almighty shall create a new heaven and a new earth. The Lord shut him in. Shut in or shut out. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And all that we are tonight in Christ Jesus, we owe to the grace of God. Every head bowed just a moment. Brother Mike, would you play some number for us?